Hey, dude, this dog like stinks, man.
Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird. Oh, my aching feet, Barbara.
tell me about it.
Well, that's going to be our first topic, our aching feet. And we're going to talk about lanolin and when your client is your assistant. So welcome to this week's podcast, episode 394 of the Groom Pod on December 3rd, 2023 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Precision Sharp, Groommore, and Stazco, and you guys, the listeners, the wonderful, wonderful listeners. You can join us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can support the show at our website, thegroompod.com, by clicking on the Patreon button to become a subscriber. You can support Barbara's Big Move by clicking on the donation button. And what's new is brought to you by Groommore Software. If you haven't found Groommore, you're missing out. Groommore is an all-in-one software solution for your grooming business. Whether you are a solo mobile groomer or manage several shops, Groommore has everything you need. 24-hour online booking and forms, routing, credit card processing, reminders, Google Calendar and QuickBooks integration, and so much more. And the best customer service anywhere. Shop, mobile, or house call, Groommore has you covered. And they're giving us a free month. Just enter GroomPod22 in the coupon code.
Well, Dumb and Dumber two-day event at my grooming shop this weekend. I mean, those are the only 2 days that I had to fully groom. Now, there wasn't much scheduled for Friday, fortunately, because here's how it works for me at my age and owning the shop and everything. Yvonne or Dave opens up the shop at 8:30-ish, 8 to 8:30, and I trip in at about 10 or 11. That gives me time to better get, quote, on my feet, which we'll talk about. And sometimes I get messages from Yvonne on the text messages while she's there and I haven't come in yet. So she texts me Friday morning. The water pressure is sucking in here. I can't do anything. And also what happened on Wednesday was that we discovered that the airline to the foot on-off automatic air.
The air switch for the recirculating bathing system. There you go.
Thank you. You know, that thingy that you step on that makes a bathing pump go. You know, that one.
That one.
Yeah, well, the air, it's not a wire because there's no wires in it, but the air hose,
yes.
Teeny little thing, it got compromised.
Oh, no. Got punctured somehow?
Somebody chewed it, and it wasn't me. So so on Wednesday, I took the whole air step-on thing and air switch. I know that. I took the whole air switch and its tube to Ace Hardware. And, you know, it's so nice to shop at Ace Hardware because they really brand themselves as the helpful guys or gals, right? You get waited on at Ace Hardware. They'll take you from one department to the next. They won't just like point you to an aisle like they do at Home Depot. This guy took me underhand, you know, and he goes in the, we're way in the back where all of the rolls of tubing are, and he starts looking for the right size tubing, and he's talking to me, and we talk about how we like to work with the public, and he found me the appropriate diameter air line and hooked it up to the switch, and I went off and I had it in my car. Well, we hadn't hooked it up yet. So Friday, I hadn't done it yet. So Friday, we have this no water pressure, and we can't use the Bathing Beauty because I've got the bad air switch. So Yvonne is just like having a meltdown. She had to bathe two dogs by hand. Oh my God. With no water pressure. We couldn't find any bottles that we could dilute the shampoo in. So we used the shampoo and the conditioner straight. And then she couldn't rinse the Sheltie. She was just practically in tears, feeling all around the tub. You know, is everything turned on? Yeah, it's all turned on. I go back there and I feel around under the tubing and I felt the hot water in one of these pipes that was under the kind of adjacent to the tub down below. And so I knew there was water getting up to the tub.
Right.
Well, I said, I don't know. I have no idea, but this is warm. What does this mean? Well, dumb that I am, I didn't put it together. I didn't see what was happening, even though I was so close to discovering it. But you see, Yvonne is chasing around having a meltdown, you know, and we'll call the water department and call Dave and call this. And, you know, and I called the water department because I wanted to see if it was a neighborhood problem. I got sent to another dispatcher and they dropped my call, and when I called them back the line was busy five times. So forget that. Water department isn't going to tell me anything. We just went home. We finished that dog. It didn't get rinsed out very well with the conditioner, but it was a Sheltie that kind of needed a leave-in conditioner. So we left it in, and it was Show Seasons Honey, which smells really good. And because we used it direct from the bottle, it really had a lot of good fragrance to it. So that was Friday. And I canceled any other dogs that we had that required bathing. So then we come in Saturday. And of course, it's the same. I mean, somehow Yvonne thought it was going to heal thyself overnight. Something, you know, like, well, maybe it'll be better tomorrow.
By magic.
Yeah, I go home saying, yeah, that. You know, and I have to admit, Susie, I am so checked out of my business. I am just like practically not happening. I'm happening really great with the people as I'm saying goodbye, setting them up with a new groomer. And the dogs are happy because we're happy and I'm happy grooming them. But, you know, scheduling and rescheduling and answering texts and answering the phone and all that is just like, oh, fuck it. That's where I'm at. How did the transformation come to an end? Oh, just became an old fuck it situation. I don't know what's going to happen by the time I close this shop. So anyway, Saturday we come, and Yvonne is outside at the main water pipes that are outside the gun shop that is the building that I'm in. So all of the mains are at his door, and he's the landlord, and he's out of town, so he can't participate in solving this water pressure, except of course to reassure Yvonne that he did not turn off the water and leave town because he was mad and saw the situation. Yeah, the fact that I was leaving, and, you know, no, she had a little bit of conspiracy theory going there. But, you know, I knew he would never do that. He might get mad and grumpy and bitch me out, but he's not going to turn off the water and leave town. That's cool. You know, we've gotten along for almost 50 years and that's not going to happen. So she's out front fooling around. I said, just leave him on. And then I saw at the tub, it's an inline valve to turn the water onto the sprayer, the rinse sprayer, was turned off. We never turn it off there. We turn off the hot and the cold. especially the hut, because that's what Jimmy the landlord wants us to always turn off, the hut. So we turned it off there, but for some reason got turned off at the hose end where the two hot and cold meet each other. So of course that's why I was feeling the hot pipe under the tub, because it was indeed going up to the faucet, but not out the hose. Right. So I fixed them. I run out to the door. You know, like, it's so hard for me to walk around. We'll talk about that soon in the feet segment. But it's so hard for me to be like walking outside and coming back inside and walking all the way to the back and seeing the tub and, you know, like doing like that. So I just let Yvonne fool around outside and I did my thing inside at the tub. And then I went out and hollered to her. It's on now. And she comes in and there's no water pressure.
What?
There's no water pressure. So we have to have another meltdown. Now. He's got 6 dogs scheduled, maybe 7, for the day. This isn't going to work, Barbara. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. This is just a dribble, you know. And I had given her the air switch to hook up to the Bathing Beauty, but she didn't even try to do that. She was just, this ain't right. You know what I mean?
One problem at a time.
One problem at a time. This ain't right. Fix it. The landlord's out of town. There's a note on his door. He won't be back until the 13th or something like that. That's too long. So I call his daughter and I say, oh, hey, do you have any idea how the water works here? Or any reason we might not have water pressure? And she said, oh, I'll call my dad. So next thing I know, I'm on the phone to the landlord. And he says, well, if it's turned on outside, it should be on. So I go outside and I actually go over to the piping and both valves are off.
Oh, my gosh.
Perpendicular to the line. That means off. It stops the flow of the water, and the very direction of the handle of the valve tells you it's off. You know, it was so tight that I had to go in and get a hammer and hammer those things open. And as soon as I hammered those valves open, Yvonne's out having a smoking break. I go back to the bathtub and shush. Water pressure. So it was a dumb and dumber thing. One person is turning it off on one end and the other person is turning it on and on the other end, and they're switching places and neither solution worked because they have the right combination of open valve at the tub and open valve on the outside mains. It's laughable looking back. I mean, we were scurrying around. We were cursing. You know, do you think Jimmy would have done this to us? No. We did not create this. Somehow we created this, or the water department. But Jim fixed it all. He said, well, probably some no good guy came by for a laugh, turned off both valves. And I just left it there. Yep, some transient person. Because sometimes Jimmy chases those guys out of his business without being too polite.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did used to make little tents for themselves behind his storage shed, and he put jumping cactus pieces all down where they would want us. He did. Wow. He put jumping cactus in the way of the homeless people.
Okay, that would hurt.
What a guy, huh?
Yeah. Well, gun shop owner, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as long as they don't shit back there and they dump their trash, what's to lose? You know, if they keep a clean house, no problema. We finally got him to turn around and see that. So he's developed, you know, some not friends.
Right.
Over the years, he immediately goes with someone that doesn't like him, has turned the water off, or some homeless mischief maker. They're not all mischief makers. In fact, I don't know any homeless men that would go and turn off the main water valve to the dog grooming shop. I just don't.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not a common target, I don't think, among the homeless.
Pushover people.
Yeah, it's compassionate. People that are compassionate. Well, I had an absolutely normal week. I had nothing break. I had everything go normally. I groomed a lot of dogs, you know.
So happy.
Yeah, me too. I needed a break there for a minute. I'm sure it's temporary, but you know, you take what you can get. But it was nice. People are starting to decorate. I always enjoy that. And I bought a gallon of the Show Season Sugar Cookie shampoo, and I'm loving that. I didn't realize how much I liked that shampoo. So surprise, surprise. And I'm using the Sugar Cookie cologne. And then if I want to vary it, I layer on a little of the cinnamon cologne that Show Season has, and I make a snickerdoodle instead of a sugar cookie. Oh, it's all good. The presents and gifts are starting to roll in. I always enjoy that. I save my gifts for Christmas Day, because when you get old, you don't really have a lot of Christmasing happening unless you've got kids.
Yeah, the only gifts you have to open.
Yep. But I enjoy it. I love opening it. And then then I got a gift from a client who no longer has a pet anymore. It just arrived in the mail, so I've got that sitting over there. I love surprises like that. That was good. But other than that, it was very normal, average, enjoyable, delightful holiday week for me, this whole thing. And how about if we take a break and move on to the painful subject of our feet? Did you know that Stazco has come out with a couple of new products? First, there's the Stazco Oatmeal Protein Conditioner. This conditioner provides exceptional body and manageability and super shiny finishes. And it has a wonderful apple scent that I love. Great in the recirculator, too. And they have a new matching protein conditioning spray, dematting, anti-static conditioning, and finishing all in one, just like the original Stazco spray, but with that delicious apple fragrance. Look for these new products at trade shows and your favorite distributors like Cascade Grooming Supplies.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Posture starts from the feet up, and that is an area for both of us that is quite painful. How are your feet doing these days?
Oh, I'm having a terrible time with my feet. I mean, it just started getting cold here. We just started getting like 40 degree nights, and so my feet are starting to really bother me. And I'm going to say, of all the disabilities, of all the bodily problems that I'm having, the fucking feet are the worst crippling thing that's happening. I can KT tape my knee. I can KT tape my back. Well, I can't myself. I can get somebody. But I can't fix my damn toes. Care physician doesn't care so much about your feet. They want to start at my heart where I might die.
Right.
To them, the feet is on layer 5 of issues. We haven't got there yet. We just keep doubling back on the heart and the lungs and the arthritis and the knee and the bad back issue. But the feet are what is most crippling. If there was one thing, I've said this before, I'll say it forever. If there's one thing I could change in my actions from the time I started grooming until now, it would be I would wear better shoes from the beginning, from the get-go. My first grooming shoes, I mean, I came to grooming as a broken poor person, and my first grooming shoes were bowling rentals that I walked out with.
Could you get a slipperier shoe to have in a grooming environment? Oh my gosh.
It was terrible. And I was part-time bather, part-time groomer during that time. And there was no art support and there was no nothing. They were just cardboard shit shoes. I wore them for a long time. They wore through, taped them. I did all this homeless person kind of stuff. I don't know. I love to punish myself. I think that's what's happening. So I wore those. And then when I graduated into my own shop, one time I was wearing boots and I was scissoring a schnauzer and it did some kind of a fast lurch and my scissors flew out of my hand and went point down into my foot.
Ouch.
In the boot. That can happen.
It can. It just horrifies me to see people wearing sandals when they're grooming because of exactly that.
Exactly that. Well, the sandal thing, I had an accident when Curtis Hanvey was visiting me in person. Here he is, came down. He had gone to Phoenix to try to talk PetSmart into using his equipment. And he came down and spent a few days in Tucson. And you know what he did mostly? He worked on my roof.
What a nice guy.
Curtis Hanvey is such a nice guy. So he was in the shop, and I was in the shop doing my work, and I had worn open-toed sandals to work. I got a cord, a dryer cord, stuck under my toes, and I took a fall onto my concrete floor with a dog in my arms.
Oh, no. That's awful.
Well, I masterfully gently set the dog down as I was crashing. Probably the beginning of the end of my knees right there.
Yes, probably.
I was in a lot of pain. Well, I think it was my right knee that got racked up in that little fall. But, you know, that was just simple poor footwear. So I went without arch support. I went with open toe. I used to do earth shoes, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, well, it started me off wrong, Susie. It started me off not caring and brutalizing my feet. I went 17 years in my concrete floor shop before I put down fatigue mats.
Because we didn't know.
But we didn't know. You know, we had to learn the hard way. And it took years for that stuff to start really catching up to me. But it sure did. I started having feet problem years ago. I mean, and it probably was part of the sciatic problem that I had for a couple of years that was just awful. Try having a sciatic attack when you're driving a car. Yikes, because it just jerks you around physically. So that was awful. But I just didn't attend to my feet. And anti-fatigue matting came a little bit too late. There was a progressive aging disorder happening.
I started also on a cement floor. I didn't start grooming when you did, but I worked in a warehouse and I never paid much attention to my shoes. But I will say this, as a child, I had flat feet and I had to wear special shoes. I hated them. I just hated them. So I think I avoided any attention to my feet during my working years, my young adulthood, and just stood on that cement floor and worked in my tennis shoes, whatever tennis shoes I had. And then one day I woke up with some horrible foot pain. And I went into a podiatrist, which sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not. Just depends on the one you get.
They really do.
They assessed my feet and they said, oh, you have completely flat feet. And I said, well, I know, I always have. And he said, well, if you see this, this is what happens to your ankle. This is what happens to your knee. This is what happens to your hip. This is how it messes with your lower back. And you've got to kind of fix the foundation that you're standing on. So I had my gait assessed and I had my feet assessed and I got orthotics and it changed my life. But to get to that point, I had to go somewhere where they looked at my feet. And I think that's a really important first place to start. Actually, the first place to start is the hardest place to start. And that's, are you overweight? because being overweight really messes with your feet. It's really tough on your feet, but it's hard to look at that. Well, because me too. Barbara's flipping me off, by the way. I was not saying that for your purpose. I'm saying that for the thousands of people that listen to this podcast.
I was going to mention that as I own that factor.
Okay.
It's 50 years of grooming. It's 20 years at least of overweight. It's standing on the concrete floor. It's standing all day to groom. Once I started sitting down, it got a lot better. But now I'm at the point of it's horrible. And now that it's cold weather, I'm having my annual blue toe syndrome.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good at all.
This has never been properly diagnosed. I have turned in toes and hammer toes. And what happens is that my big toe and most of my toe pads turn blue when it gets cold. And when they're blue, they are ultra, ultra sensitive to touch. And when you have hammer toes, they're just pounding on the ground and on each other. What's helping me the most is more foot massage. I use toe separators sometimes for several hours at home, but eventually those things get uncomfortable and you have to rip them off. But I also have these little footies. They're like toe socks, except they're about as fine as those footies that they give you at the shoe store.
Sure.
They're about that quality material, very, very light. And I've got a little gel on the heels, and every toe has its own little cover. That helps the rubbing of each other, and if one toe is standing on another one, doesn't hurt quite so bad. So those are good things, and I've got a wooden rack with rollers where I can rub my feet and massage my feet. And now I'm self-diagnosing that I have another problem that I've actually had for years, never been diagnosed, and that's called Morton's neuroma. It has different effects to different people, but I've known for a few years that in the wintertime I get this black and blue area, like right below my second and third toe on the top of my foot. I now can identify that as a sign of Morton's neuroma. Well, I have to deal with how to keep my feet warmer during my nighttime sleeping, because I can wake up in the morning and be so crippled just from my toes getting cold, even though the top of me would be all warm and fuzzy. Oh, look at my price tag is showing. Nighttime cold thing. I have all kinds of socks. Socks tend to come off at night. I don't know. I've got some of these toe socks coming that are ankle socks with toe things, because that seems to be the most gentle kind of separation that I can do. And it does some remedy, except that once those toes are blue, they don't want nothing touching them. It just makes every step painful. So I'm looking to keep my feet warmer. I read up on Morton's neuroma, and one of the things that they strongly suggest is that you do daily massaging of your feet and stretch your toes.
That's good for everybody.
And so that's good for everybody, especially when you're on your feet. So that's one of the things that you can do proactively to help your feet last longer at this work. Especially rub on the top of the foot, the top and the bottom right below the two middle fingers, and get that area kind of circulating. Doesn't hurt to take a Tylenol if there's pain. Take a Tylenol and kind of ease the pain there. I do that at night. I don't have a pain med because I don't want to go that route, but I do Tylenol as needed. And this time of year, it starts being more needful than ever.
I think the thing that had the most influence on my painful feet was learning to sit down, and I fought it so hard. But
oh, you did. I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Me telling you.
Yes. So the deal is, it is not the way we usually learn how to groom from the start, although in other countries, a lot of times they do start out sitting down.
Asian, a lot of Asian people, they have always worked sitting down.
Yeah, but we have a tendency not to do that, and I was very opposed to it. But when it got so painful for my feet, my entry into sitting down was the drying time. I would sit when I dried the dogs. And that was how I started to get comfortable with the whole idea of sitting down at all at my grooming table.
So who suggested that to you?
Well, I believe that was Barbara Bird who suggested that
to me. Probably was, because that is my go-to thing. I say, just start sitting down while you're drying dogs, because that's less critical that you have that over the dog look. And I like my electric table or even a hydraulic table that you can lower. You just need to lower it a few inches to accommodate you sitting down. And you need to have the kind of a table where you can stick your knees under it.
For sure. Also, along with getting your feet evaluated and, you know, seeing what physiology you've got going on in there, I went to a running store and I had them help me pick out shoes with the recommendations that I got from the podiatrist, I saw one of those later on. They will give you usually a list of decent shoes and kind of tell you how to twist it to see if it's a good solid sole, because we're working long hours and we're in a slippery environment, and we really want to have the support that you get in like an athletic shoe or a work boot or a work shoe like the nurses wear, somebody that works standing and moving the whole time and that has good soles on them. I suggest you buy two pair. Do you know why I'm suggesting you buy two pair, Barbara? Ask me why.
Why is that?
Because it takes 24 hours for your shoes to puff back up after you've worn them for at least 6 hours. That way, you give your shoes a chance to rest and revitalize, and you wear a different pair of shoes the next day. So I alternate shoes every day. I never wear the same shoes 2 days in a row, specifically with athletic shoes where the sole squishes down when you stand in it. Not so much work boots. I am now into work boots because my ankles have deteriorated such that I have to have ankle support. And I tried taping and I tried braces, but it turns out that good hiking boots really do the trick for me. So if you're having ankle problems, try some hiking boots.
So Susie, what I'm wearing right now is a Skechers Arch Fit slip-on. And I just want to celebrate slip-ons. Boy, they've changed my life, made me much happier to slip into the real shoes and get out of the kind of not quite so supportive slippers that I have. You know, I think Skechers Arch Fit shoes are a affordable, orthotic supportive option.
I agree.
Yeah, you need to go for the support ones, not just the foam bed ones.
Anti-fatigue mats, where do you get them? Costco.
Oh, Costco. Well, I'm not a Costco customer because I didn't want to pay the entry fee. For being a single person alone, I just can't use a half gallon of mayo. <You know?
laughs> I do it for the Pepsi alone.
You know, it's a sort of a people overdose for me at Costco.
It's true. It's all about timing, though. You got to know when to go in there. But they have really nice anti-fatigue mats for your kitchen. They're just like doormat size anti-fatigue mats. So for standing in front of your table, in reality, you should have good flooring throughout. Barbara has some neat flooring. She's got like that.
Where did I get those? I think I got them off of Amazon. They're meant for the kitchen. And it comes in a set of two. You have one large one and then one smaller, shorter one. You can get two sets of those and you can have mats on all four sides of your table if you have a free table. Like I have a table that I would walk around. These mats, I don't know how long they're going to last, but they're really friendly. If you want to hire me to come and evaluate the stress level of your floor on your feet, I can tell you, I can give you a 1 to 10 just with 5 minutes of walking, I can say, this is a freaking two.
You know, I believe it.
You know, like, this hurts. And those mats that are meant for the kitchen are really pretty good, and they're much cheaper. I invested in, there was a store in Tucson, not too far from my shop, that sold mat, fatigue mats to restaurants and stuff. And I bought my first ones there. They were black. They were heavy. They lasted forever. I mean, really, years. They made all the difference. That was life-changing to me, was yes, getting anti-fatigue mats and putting it around all my tables. The next step that I had to take when I was working over 70 was whole floor coverage. So I bought those interlocking puzzle type foam pieces, mat, floor matting. And those have really worked very well for me. I would do that. I mean, for a couple of $100, I would could do my a whole lot of my shop. I would do that again in a nanosecond if I was staying.
So let's just wrap this up by saying, get 2 pairs of shoes, get your feet evaluated, sit and stand, use anti-fatigue mats. I was going to say the anti-fatigue mats, the barber and beauty industry sells the ones that fit around pedestals and make weird shapes and things like that. The first ones that I got that I'm still using were custom. They were custom made for my table and area, and that was really nice. And then I left that vet hospital and had to cut them all up, but I'm still using them and they're still really good and they have all the support and they're just like the Costco ones, only much longer. Yeah, so use your anti-fatigue mats. Don't ignore your feet, people. Massage, compression socks, good shoes. This is how we're going to be able to last in this industry. Let's take a break and go to Barbara's classroom where we're going to talk about lanolin. Sometimes my clients don't like a walking air freshener. When these crazy people request a scent-free option, I go right to Show Season.
Show Season True Tearless Shampoo and Hypo Conditioner fit the bill. They are totally fragrance-free and yet hold up on their own as good products. True Tearless has been expertly formulated to be gentle to the eyes, skin, and hair while maintaining good cleaning power. Hypo Conditioner is a great option as well, and it's one of our favorite conditioners with or without fragrance. So let's get fragrance-free. Use True Tearless and Hypo Conditioner from Show Season today.
Go to showseasongrooming.com. We want to welcome Randy and Cheryl Lowe from Precision Sharp and invite you to check out their website where you can see their newest precise cut shear called Lynx. It's a patented design featuring a thumb ring that slides the length of the handle for perfect ergonomic placement of your thumb. Slide it and lock it into position to get your best groom on. Check it out at precisionsharp.com. Groomers, take your seats. It's time for B-Bird's Classroom. I was cruising the internet the other day and I saw a shampoo that had lanolin in it, or it might have been a conditioner that had lanolin in it. And it occurred to me that I don't really even know what lanolin is. So what is it?
Well, lanolin comes from the wool of sheep. It is sheep sebum. The sheep people call it sheep wax.
Sheep wax.
So it's a waxy, oily substance that is excreted by the skin of the sheep, and it coats the hair. It's what makes it kind of waterproof and icky.
Yeah.
So what they do is they shear the sheep, and then they wash the wool, and they extract the sebum, the oily substance, before they use the wool for clothing or rugs or fabrics or whatever, right?
So it's like a byproduct of the wool industry, kind of?
Well, it was. I mean, lanolin has been used for centuries. It's one of the original hair products, hair and skin products. And because sheep sebum closely corresponds to human sebum. It's about the closest thing. The other one that's really close is jojoba oil.
Oh.
But sheep sebum lanolin is probably even more close. But the downside is that it's really hard to purify it enough. Although it's been used historically, it can also be associated with an allergic reaction. Lanolin was the first additive in early 50s shampoos.
For people?
For people.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We didn't get any additives for dogs for generations.
Right.
I love having this backward glancing view. Lanolin was a fat ingredient. It was highly acclaimed. It was used in the expensive shampoos as well as filtered down to the supermarket or wherever, drugstore shampoos. But it was associated with a lot of irritation and reactions. So gradually it got replaced by other less tricky additives, right? Including good old aloe vera.
Oh.
But aloe vera is not a, it's a moisturizing, but it doesn't have the, you see the lanolin sebum, the lanolin oil actually will coat the hair shaft and prevent water loss, which is one of the ways that hair is damaged. It's not just what you put on it, but it's what you lose from within it. Lanolin is oily enough that it will cling to the hair and it will prevent moisture loss. But it's also oily, waxy. You know, it's not the most ideal stuff and it can cause reactions. So it fell out of favor for a number of years. You didn't see it so much in the 90s and 2000s. But then cosmetic chemistry caught up with lanolin. When they started doing the polyethylene glycol added to make things, PEGs and PPGs,
yes,
they tried it on lanolin. And they came up with one of the most common, PEG-75 lanolin. That's lanolin that has 75 units of polyethylene glycol inserted, married to it. It doesn't mean that there's loose polyethylene glycol in there, that a polyethylene glycol then becomes an ingredient. No, PEG-75 lanolin is a whole complete ingredient. And it's been made water soluble. The ethoxylation with the PEG makes it water soluble. It makes it hypoallergenic. And it makes it much more useful and much more helpful. And it happened because lanolin's natural.
It's a byproduct of wool, and we still use wool.
When the natural wave, which became a tsunami, they wanted to take another look at lanolin because it was recognized as a hair product. You know, like having consumer recognition is a large part of successful marketing, because if people recognize ingredient components, they are more comfortable purchasing the product. So people see the lanolin and don't pay too much attention to the PEG-75 part, and they recognize lanolin and they buy the product, okay? And so the difference is that it's really evolved, and it's also chemically manipulated to achieve that evolution. I don't have a problem with that. Some people do. But I want to say my bubble was burst when I read up on the practices of getting lanolin from sheep. And by the way, one sheep will yield 8 to 10 ounces of lanolin from its sheared fleece.
Boy, that is not very much.
They got to do a shitload of shearing to get up to the demand for lanolin today. Now, and what I saw, what I read about, was very disturbing. Current day lamb farm, sheep farm for lanolin. Because I had an image in my mind from when I went to Australia and New Zealand, and especially New Zealand. I went to New Zealand. There were rolling hills, and there were herds of sheep being urged forward by trained dogs that would do that. And it was, oh, this is pleasant. Well, lanolin is a good thing because the hair grows back, the wool grows back. It's sustainable in that sense. And what do the lambs care what you do with the hair you cut off them? They don't. Doesn't hurt them. And then I learned some more facts. Because you have to have so much lanolin, just a little herd of lambs in a rolling hills pasture is not going to cut the shit. You got to cram those lambs in like chickens in a chickenery, and they're all crowded and they stomp on each other and occasionally kill each other. And then they go through this rigorous shearing. For only about 6 years do they produce good lanolin. And then their aging process begins. Their lanolin drops off to less than 8 ounces a shear, and they get sent to the slaughterhouse where they are treated horribly. And it's a frightening, some of them die on the way in the trucks and stuff. And it's just an awful end. They're not farm animals. They don't have a human that's their boss. So I want to say, for me, that doesn't like negate all of my use of lanolin. And I'm glad that PEG 75 lanolin is actually a much lighter, it being infused like that, there's less lanolin actually there that's doing the whole job. But honestly, I don't seek out products with lanolin. I tend to, I have to weigh it against all of the other information about the product to decide if I'm going to utilize and support a product with any kind of lanolin, because I'm just not happy with sheep farming for lanolin. One of the most amazing things about natural lanolin is that the chemical composition of lanolin, it's got at least 70 alcohols.
Wow.
70 alcohol substances in the formation of the sheep wax. You know, and the rest of it is esters and polyesters. Well, it's esters and polyesters of almost 70 alcohols and fatty acids. That's an amazing amount. You know, so no wonder it is pretty effective as a hair additive.
Cool.
Okay.
That's fascinating, all that alcohol in there.
There's, you know, good alcohols and bad alcohols, and alcohols is just a chemical category.
Right.
There's hundreds of them.
Right. But thank you for answering that. Let's move on to our next subject.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
The dog that I have 1/4 ownership of, Figgy, it's getting very difficult to do her toenails. She has tiny feet. She's 7 pounds. She has dew claws that are practically embedded into the side of her skin, so you can't pull them out. They're not easy. They're painful for her. She's 10 years old now, and I'm having a really tough time getting her nails done. And I've been ruminating on the possibility of having her owner help me do these nails by holding the dog and letting me get at them that way, because even in the hammock, she struggles, and I don't want to do that to her. That's not only is she part my dog, but I wouldn't want to do that to anybody's dog. Do you ever use the client to help you?
Yes. In fact, I came upon that practice the 6 months that I was a mobile groomer.
Yeah.
Because I was thrown, I moved from a kennel situation where there was always somebody around to call on for help. Hey, can you help me here, you know, and then to being all by myself in the van. And it was the days before good restraint. And so I would just go back to the house and say, oh, hey, can you come help me with Bozo here? We're having about a stressful time of it. And so I got used to occasion. I mean, only when I really couldn't solve the problem by myself, I would go ask people to help. Or they would recognize that their dog was difficult and offer to help. I was brought up in a kennel where the owners never even saw the rear of the facility where we worked on the dogs. They had a front entrance and they checked in, and then the dogs were brought into the back and we worked on them. And they never saw anything past the entrance zone. So it was a big thing for me to ask for help. But I made some good friends doing that. And I had one young woman that helped me while I was immobile and then followed me when I opened up my shop and brought the dog to me and helped me at the shop.
That's cool.
I'm kind of blessed right now because I can't work by myself, so I'm working with an assistant. So I have either Dave or Yvonne to help me with any dogs that are like way too difficult, you know, and I don't have a problem with most people, because I found that, in fact, sometimes people would help me with their animal and then they would gain, I would achieve extra value to them because they would see how I work and how I'm in touch with dogs. I used to insist that cat owners stay with their cats. I'd put the gloves on them and what have you, but the cats were always better. There's only was a couple of owners that were just flaky. Flaky men that would just hand me the cat and wrapped in a towel and then step back and watch me go for it. But most people, I could just do a 10-second instruction. Your job is to keep the cat happy and distracted, and while I do my job, and you need to don't talk too much, but just keep them still.
So you just give some instruction before you start?
Yeah, stay calm, don't be nervous, stay firm but friendly, step away if there's any big problem, I'll handle it.
I have a Chihuahua family. They've got two little smooth coat Chihuahuas that are difficult to do their nails on, and the lady holds the dogs, and every single time she holds her dog right next to her face. So all I can think of is, you've got to please put the dog down away from your face. Oh, it's okay, honey. Oh, Lucy, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, no, don't do that. So I've had to really get into it a little bit more with her. She doesn't think her dog's reactive, but I explained to her, if I accidentally get a quick and it hurts, that dog could strike out at your face.
I do a quick tutorial. I don't want them putting their face too close. If they have the slightest inclination that their dog or cat is going to be reactive, we put on protective sleeves or gloves. They have to know that they're doing it at their own risk. You know, you just kind of mention that.
I usually ask, what does the dog do when something happens to him that he doesn't like? And then the next question is, what does the dog do when you do something your dog doesn't like? And then you ask, what do you think your dog is going to do when I do something your dog doesn't like? And through that conversation, you find a lot of information out. And in there, I think I'm going to introduce the please keep your face away from the dog and keep your fingers out of the dog's mouth area and just give the little bit of tutorial. But I think it's going to make nail trims, which are something she worries about during the whole groom, if I take that out of the grooming process and do it separately with her mom, either at the beginning of the groom or at the end of the groom, I'm certain it's going to make it better for Figgy, and that makes it better for all of us. So that's what I'm hoping.
as they age, dogs get more resistive to things they don't like because it becomes less and less tolerable for them. And, you know, they get stiff in the joints. And so the whole process is much more, they just feel too vulnerable. And it's much more invasive than it seemed when they were, you know, like 3 years old.
Good point. Yeah, things change. Structure changes. I didn't used to be quite as aware of the joints grinding on each other as I am now that my joints grind on each other. And when I feel that in a dog's foot, I'm like, oh, dear, that's arthritis. And then I let the owners know. And then I try to adjust the nail trim, which is what I'm doing with Figgy. So fingers crossed that this works. And that's going to wrap up our show. Thank you for being here with us. Remember, you guys, if you want to support the show, but you don't want to make any personal investments by sending us anything, you can do so at our Chewy link on the website, thegroompod.com. Just click on the link there and you can do some shopping. This week, I believe they have 50% off selected dog beds and dog foods. So go check that out through our Chewy link and support the show. And happy grooming, everyone. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take good care of yourselves because we love you.